are listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast.
What, everybody? It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Y'all listen to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. Just want to tell everybody, thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you for all the support, all the love. You know, we're trying to do great things for our community here with this podcast, with the YouTube channel. If you ain't checked out the YouTube channel, go ahead and go check that out. It's Hope for Phoenix. And we're just trying to start a movement that's impactful to our community. You know, over these last couple months, I really noticed a change in Phoenix and Tempe and Mesa and some of these cities that are surrounding the valley. There's been a huge change, and it hasn't happened over a couple months. This is stuff that's been happening over the last 10 years, but things are getting so bad now. You know, if you listen to my podcast, I did a story back in August, I believe, about a 16-year-old boy who overdosed on fentanyl, and it was his very first time trying fentanyl, and died on just one pill. You know, God rest his soul. You know, prayers go out to his family, his mother, his father. You know, that's something that they had to kind of endure. And when I heard that story on the news, because this kid was so young, so talented, you know, he was very good at football. It looked like, just from seeing kind of some of the videos, he had that passion for football at such a young age that, you know, he was going to go somewhere with that. You could just see it in him. And just recently, the mother reached out to me and has heard my podcast from somebody that heard it out of state. And so, you know, to me, that's huge, you know, because, you know, this is a mother who lost a son to an overdose, and her son wasn't even an addict at the time. You know, this was his very first time trying this. So, you know, she doesn't have that experience of a mother at that time that had a kid that was going down that path, or you know. And like I said before, these drugs are getting to our youth, and it's getting to our youth because it's getting in the schools. You know, you have situations can all be different, but it's getting into the school and peer pressure and wanting to experience life at such a young age and take those risks. Fentanyl can end it in just one pill. For anybody, it can end it in one pill. You could be using 20 pills a day for the last 2 years, and you just get one bad pill, and one pill can end your life. And it's not even really that it's a bad pill. You know, what people don't understand is with fentanyl, it stops the brain from being able to send signals to your body, to your heart. Things that we don't see happening, it just happens. The brain stops being able to communicate with your body and your transmitters, and that's how people overdose. They forget to breathe. They forget how to breathe because the brain's not telling the body how to do that because the fentanyl blocks that. And so it don't matter how many you smoke. It could be one pill that creates that effect. And you know, the fact that anybody has to go through that, losing a family member to an overdose, is frightening. It's scary. And as a parent, and as seeing my parents go through this, the lack of knowledge about addiction puts parents in a bad position. It puts parents not knowing how to save their kids' lives, not knowing how to be more involved in their kids' treatment and help them, and you know, and what ends up happening. And I, you know, me doing outreach as much as I do, I keep in contact with a lot of parents, a lot of mothers. And some of the things that they tell me is that I don't know what to do. I don't know what direction to go. I don't know what I could do for my kid. Every time my kid calls me, it's for money they want. And these parents are, they get frustrated. They get frustrated with their kid. And they end up resenting their kids. And because they don't know how to help them through their addiction, and it's not their fault. It's not the parents' fault. It's just a lack of knowledge. As much as our government gets involved in our lives and wants to be part of our lives, there should be a lot more classes, a lot more for the given to people in the community on these kind of issues. Because to me, this is the biggest issue in America right now, is our drug problem, and our homelessness. And those two things go hand in hand, but we have to be able to treat these folks who are struggling. We have to have the right medications. We have to have the right doctors. We have to have the right staff with the right facilities, the right organizations involved to be able to provide this knowledge to parents. Because I get more and more parents calling me, and I educate them over the phone on what they need to do for their kid to save their kid's life. And I spoke to a mother the other day who told me, you know, I'm done. I can't do this no more. Like, my son's putting my life at risk every time he calls me, because I'm in these bad areas to go pick him up. I'm in these, you know, and she's like, my son doesn't have to be homeless. He has a home, but he chooses to be. And because she doesn't know what she needs to do, or the kind of support to be able to support him through his addiction, she feels frustrated and she gives up. And part of it is her son, who is dealing with this addiction, not wanting to be honest with her. And you know, but it's a common thing that I see with parents and their children, who, you know, are young adults, most of them, and how they can help them through their treatment. And that's what this episode's gonna be more about. How to help your child through treatment and help them through their addiction and be supportive. And the first thing is just having the proper knowledge of their addiction. What a lot of parents don't understand is that addiction is a brain disease. And it's a brain disease that is going to cause your child to make bad decisions. You know, the decision-making process is going to change through their addiction. And, you know, things that how the proper brain should be working is not going to be working properly in your child. And therefore, that's why decisions are going to be, you know, most of the time are going to be irrational and not well thought out decisions. And that's how they, you know, that's just how it is. You know, people are not themselves when they're in their addiction. That's not who they are. And due to the brain not functioning properly, that's where a lot of these bad decisions stem from. So people, I read a statistic one time that said, on average, people that go through treatment through their addiction have to try on average about 17 times before they get it right, you know, before they can get sober. And you know, that's on average how many times they fall out of treatment, They stop going. They go back to the streets. They go back to using. They get back in their relationships that are toxic and unhealthy. And, you know, that's a lot of times it's hard for these folks to change the people, places, and things that are in place in their life at the moment through their addiction. And that's just common knowledge in the field, but a lot of parents don't know that. So that's just something that you guys got to, as parents, you got to think about. You have to be patient with your kid. You know, you want to be able to support them, but not support their addiction. You don't want to support their habit. You want to support them in ways that's going to be beneficial for them. And that's finding the resources that are out here. There's in Phoenix, there is tons and tons and tons of resources. And I feel like now it's becoming a little bit more available to the general population and a little bit more easier to find. If anybody knows anybody going through addiction, you guys need resources or need assistance, you guys can always reach out to me. My email is nastybackpackpodcast@gmail.com. I'll put the link in the description so that you guys are able to get in contact with me. And that way, if you're a parent kind of going through it and need to reach out for some advice, I'm more than happy to you know, have those conversations. And if you need me to reach out to your child who's in the streets and is dealing with an addiction, give me a call and or email me, and then we'll link up and figure it all out on what we need to do to help your child get out of their, you know, addiction. But resources are key. There's tons of them out here. You know, there's places like CBI, Copper Springs. I mean, if you just Google it, you know, you'll can find lots of resources. But listen, parents, if you got a kid who is depending on opiates, that's fentanyl, heroin, Percocets, oxycodones, things in those nature, they're gonna get sick as soon as they try to stop. As soon as they want to stop and try to stop, they're gonna get sick. And we have to we have to be patient with them. And because when you're sick and you're going through it, your mind doesn't think properly. It wants to feel normal again. And normal to people that are in the streets is because they're using normally. So that's their baseline. Once you stop using, their baseline is no longer there, and they automatically go into withdrawal. And that's why there's certain medications that can prevent that. Methadone being one of them. I'm a big fan of methadone because it can change somebody's life, like, hands down. So can Suboxone. But methadone, for people that are in the streets and their biggest fear is the withdrawals, they absolutely should get on methadone. The success rate of methadone is amazing to none. You know, there's more people that are joining MAT services. And in my opinion, anybody that's using fentanyl regularly should definitely get on MAT services, because that's going to be the first step of their treatment to move forward. You know, we got to change behaviors. And once somebody gets on methadone and they realize, like, I don't have to use today, you know, you start setting short-term goals where you're not going to use five times, seven times a week. You know, you might not use 7 days a week. You know, you might cut it down to 3 days, and then 2 days, and then slowly wean yourself off. You know, that's a technique that I see a lot of people try to use. But methadone definitely allows you to not have to use and get sick. As long as you're on the correct dose and you're showing up every day and you're dosing every day, the methadone will absolutely start working. So as parents, you know, the way that we support our kids is by getting them on methadone, getting them to that clinic every day. That's the most important thing, is for them to get to that clinic, dose, and keep it moving. You know, that's how as parents, you know, they can support their child. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of our time, sometimes it takes our gas money, whatever, but it's absolutely important that that kid, your kid, or your family member, it doesn't even have to be a kid, your family member, gets to that clinic every day in doses, because that's gonna help them build stability in their life. And so if you want to be a supportive parent, help support them by going to treatment. Even if they don't go every day, you limit the risk of overdose when you get them to that clinic. And that's the important thing to remember. Because remember, on average, people are going to mess up in the treatment about 17 times on average. So if your kid is barely getting on methadone, you got to be patient and understand that that kid's going to make mistakes. Your family member is going to make mistakes in their treatment. We cannot judge off of that. We have to come back to the drawing board, regain stability, and get them back moving forward into treatment, back in the treatment. Even if they go to 20 different facilities, you know, I see it happen, but if you don't give up and you keep help supporting them, get to that treatment center, get to their doctor appointment, get to the clinic, that's the way as parents we support our children in their addiction. You know, helping them get a shower and helping them get a haircut. There's a lot of resources for that. You know, getting them a sleeping bag, getting them, you know, if they're living on the streets, you know, and you're not comfortable with them coming home, you know, those little things, toothpaste, toothbrush, self-care products. You know, because when you're in the streets, that goes out the window. You know what I mean? And so you want to kind of restore that, because as they get in treatment and they get some days sober, their mindset's going to start slowly changing, because they're changing behaviors. They're learning these new techniques on how to critique their life and change certain things that they got going on, because they're constantly in classes and treatment. They're learning how to get their lives back together and understand their addiction, and, you know, kind of learn how to move forward in their addiction. So, like I said, it's important to get them to their clinic. It's important to get them in treatment. Those are the resources that they need, because I talk to a lot of people while doing outreach, and the one common thing that I kind of notice is a lot of people don't know how to get treatment, where to find treatment, where to go. They can't get a ride there. They can't. And in Arizona and in Phoenix, there's a lot of resources for that. And that's where we need to be more. That's where I'm trying to be more proactive with my resources and put it out there to help parents, to help case managers, counselors, whoever it can use, folks that are experiencing homelessness, get a hold of these resources. And you know, if y'all check out my YouTube channel, you'll see how I work with different organizations, you know, to help get people into services. I got tons of different sober livings, residential treatment facilities, and I build these connections with these folks so that I can get more people into treatment, educate parents on what treatment options are there is for their children or their family members, and let them know it is possible. It is possible to get your child back. It is possible. I've seen it hands first. My sister, you know, 5-6 years ago, became totally disappeared from our family. She had gotten married. Her and her husband, you know, moved in with her parents and with his parents, I'm sorry. And we just never saw her. We never saw our sister again. You know, holidays would come. Every blue moon, we might see her pop up. And we didn't really know what was going on. My parents didn't know that their daughter was on drugs. And it wasn't until I was telling them, like, hey, I think my sister is using. Because the kind of behavior that she's showing is behaviors that are shown when somebody is struggling with substance abuse. You know, she is. And my parents didn't believe me at first. They don't have no idea about addiction. So it's like, how would they even know the first signs? And so, you know, years went by, and we barely, I think in like 4 years, I only saw my sister maybe 2 times. And, you know, it was during like a birthday party and Christmas. And even then, you know, kind of from just being engaged in the holidays and the party and the alcohol, I didn't realize my sister was on drugs. And, I was told later on, like, hey, I think something's going on with our sister. I didn't notice it, but I did notice the behavior of her being, you know, not answering phone calls or text messages. We couldn't get a hold of her. She was totally, like, she was wiped off the face of the earth. And then her husband would reach back out to me every blue moon and just tell me that my sister's doing good. And it was almost like, it was super weird to me. And there was only 2 possibilities that came to mind. Either she's being abused, where she's not able to talk to her family, or she's on drugs where she's just not there enough to make that phone call, or answer the phone, or reach back out to us and let us know how she's doing. So she was in denial about her addiction to her family. And so my parents, when it finally did come to light, because, you know, now it started to become a concern, because the one thing that I was worried about was my sister overdosing, being that I work in the field. And at that time, I wasn't as knowledgeable as I am now, but, you know, I was still had some knowledge of this in this field, you know, of addiction. And so, you know, after she finally came clean and decided to let my parents know what's going on in her life, my parents didn't know how to handle it. My parents did not know how to handle it. At first, they just accepted it, and they were just looking at her like she was a drug addict. And, you know, her marriage ended. You know, she overdosed and had to be rushed to the hospital by my parents. And, you know, it was just, they just didn't know how to handle it. And I saw that. I felt like my parents started giving up on her as far as knowing how to help her through her addiction, and it started becoming more frustrating for them. And finally, my sister got into a treatment center. I mean, she kept going from treatment center to treatment to treatment to treatment. Like I said, on average, it's 17 times, and it's just patience that we have as family members to help support our family that's struggling, our folks that are struggling. And so that patience is very important, because she finally got into a treatment center that was working for her. She got better, and now she's in recovery, has been clean for like 3 years now. she doesn't celebrate. She doesn't celebrate recovery. She doesn't celebrate, but she has got back to getting herself back, becoming who she was. She found again, you know, and now she's in a relationship. She's working, and things are going good for her. And it took a lot of different. It took her not giving up. She didn't give up as a person, and she, you know, she set herself some goals, and she got tired of being sick and tired, and she got into treatment, got into a facility, and worked the program like she was supposed to, and got herself out of her addiction. And not only did she get herself out of her addiction, she got herself off of most of the medication that she was on. And, you know, so she's off of most of those medications, off the Suboxone. She got on Suboxone. She didn't get on the methadone to overcome her addiction. It was Suboxone, but she did what she had to do, and she got her life back in. You know, her drug of choice was fentanyl. She was, you know, it started with Percocets and went straight to fentanyl. And what parents don't understand is fentanyl is 50 times stronger than heroin. You know, fentanyl is so powerful of a drug. It's one of the only drugs that breaks through all the barriers to get to the brain. And, you know, it doesn't... Once you start getting addicted to it, it gets you hooked where you need it. And if you don't have it, you're going to be sick and withdrawals. And that's what my parents didn't. That's when it became hard for my parents, is when they saw my sister in withdrawals. And it got to a point where my parents didn't even want to tell us what was going on, because they were so frustrated and didn't know how to help their daughter. And it took my sister finally getting into treatment for everything to get better. But if she not had gotten treatment, my parents might have given up on her, and, you know, we could have possibly lost my sister to overdose. And, you know, that's where it's important for parents to stay actively supportive in your child's treatment and keep them in treatment. Keep motivating them to go to treatment. Give them those rides. Take them to the clinics. Take them to their doctors. Take them to, you know, different their treatment centers. Stay involved. Because once your child feels like they're alone, that's when they start getting lost. And that's when they stop caring, and they only remember the disappointments, and it really breaks them down, because they just feel like they lost everything, to a point where even their family they lost, you know, is gone. And it's very, very important to stay supportive. That doesn't mean support their habit. When you see your kid in withdrawal and they're needing that money, take them to go get on methadone. Take them, find out what methadone clinics are in your area. If you need help finding a methadone clinic, reach out to me at nastybackpackpodcast@gmail.com. I will research your city, your town, and I will find you the closest methadone clinic. If you live in a place where methadone is not an option, then let me know where you live, and I'll find you a clinic. I'll find you a Suboxone doctor to help. You know, it's a little bit different of a medication, but it also equally works. It worked on my sister. My sister has some years sober. She'll always be in recovery, and she'll always have to be active enough in her recovery to stay on track, but that's her journey, and she's doing a very great job of staying on track. And her form of staying on track is just getting her life back together. You know, working, having a healthy relationship, you know, and just moving forward in life, setting goals again, and just being productive in life. Where before, you know, if she wasn't in treatment, I mean, she always had an open door with my parents, and it never got to the point where my parents were absolutely done, where she had to get out. But I see that happen to other parents, and you know, that's where, you know, I spoke to a young mother the other day. Well, not a young mother. I spoke to a mother the other day who has a young son who's currently in the streets, hooked on fentanyl. And she's at the point where she's so frustrated that she told me straight up, I'm giving up on him. And she reached out to me. Me and her had about an hour conversation, and she was explaining to me how much this has devastated her life. You know, how much she's hurt by this, and fears for her son, but she's at the point where her health is not as well enough as it used to be, where she can keep worrying. The stress alone, it is killing her, from what she's telling me. And I had to educate her on addiction, and on the status of her son, and what she needs to do for that young man before it's too late. And you know, the problem with her son is that he's so comfortable in his treatment. I mean, so comfortable in his addiction that he doesn't mind sleeping out in the streets. He doesn't mind staying high all day. She doesn't allow him to walk in and out of her house because she's afraid that he's going to steal. But she, you know, she'll take him out for dinner and stuff like that. So I had to educate her on some options and what is needed for her son. And I told her straight up, like, you need to get him to go do an intake, to get on medication so that he doesn't have to use fentanyl every single day. Provided her with the resources for that. I even told her that next time that you hear from him, have him call me so that I can set up a ride for him to get to the clinic, or I can get him over there to get to a clinic so that he can do an intake and get on methadone so that he can overcome this addiction. And you know, she just had no resources to be able to help her kid, that she felt like she was, that her son was only reaching out to her because he needed money and to, you know, to obviously fund his habit. And that's where the frustration for her was coming in at, where she didn't have, feel comfortable having her own son at his house and at her house. And you know, she wants him home, but she wants him home sober, and that takes work. That takes work on her son's behalf and on her behalf to work together to try to help him get out of these streets. And I had to try to educate her on that support that he's gonna need from her to get to that clinic every day, to make sure he gets that dose every day but she doesn't have the time for it. She doesn't have the gas for it. And so I told her to reach out to me. I will call and set up his rides to get to and from the clinic, get that intake schedule, get that intake done, and help him start the foundation of treatment for him. You know, to at least create the harm reduction so that he's able to go into, one, he's able to stop using fentanyl if he chooses to. My plan for him is to get him on methadone, get him into the residential treatment, and as soon as he finishes residential treatment, help get him into a sober living so that he can continue not being in the streets, change his environment, change the people that he's around, and help him regain some of that self-control and that willpower to stay sober. You know, she's so worried about her son that stresses her out. She recently told me that her son got punched in the face, and you know, he was pretty much just left for dead, and you know, all his teeth got knocked out, and you know, they robbed him, and that's the street life. That's what happens in the streets when you are going through the struggles of homelessness and addiction. You know, not everybody is good out there. Not everybody's going to be out there. Everybody is not themselves when they're dealing with addiction. And so not only is your family member not going to be themselves, but you're going to have a different set of rules in the streets for people that don't have anything to lose. And so that's where... you know, it takes, that's why I try to tell folks, like, yo, let's get you out of these streets, let's get you into treatment, let's take a break from the street life for a little bit, get into treatment, and give that to ourselves. You know, you deserve to have 40 days sober, 30 days sober, whatever length of program you choose to go on, but you deserve to have that. And I will do whatever I have to do in my power to make that happen and get you that. And so that's where my focus comes in at, is trying to help these folks get access to the treatments, find the different options, provide them with different options, let them know that, hey, I'm willing to help out any way possible. Let me call that right for you. Let me help you get insurance. Let me give you the resources for this or that, right? And that's where my focus comes in at. And, you know, parents, if you have family members that are going through this, reach out to me again, nastybackpackpodcast@gmail.com. And I would be more than happy to case manage your kids, your family members' treatment, and provide them with options to, help change behaviors, help open their eyes, help show them that there is hope. There is, people do recover. It just takes a little bit of work, but we can get it done. And, you know, I'm here for the parents. I'm here for the people that are struggling. This is what I'm here for, and this is what this podcast is all about. Thank you all for listening in. Thank you all for all the support. If y'all want to support the channel, I'm going to put the Cash App link in the description. If y'all want to donate to my efforts, I'm really trying to get people backpacks right now. I've had some donated to me, so I'm out here trying to get people backpacks from Nasty Backpack, because we know how, you know, the street life is so bad that everything that you own can be taken and stripped away from you in at any given time through your addiction. You know, you nod off one time, you go to sleep, your backpack is gone. And that happens so much, and it never sits right with me, because we got to be better as a community. But then again, if you think about it, like I've been saying, people are not themselves in their addiction. And that's why we can't judge them on that. We can't judge these folks. We just got to figure out options to help them. And like you said, that's what this podcast is all about. Anybody needs resources, reach out to me. Again, nastybackpackpodcast@gmail.com. Go check out the YouTube channel, Hope for Phoenix. I love you all. Have a great night. Stay blessed. It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. We out. Thank you.